What's going on, y'all, and welcome back to the Double M Live.
Sheesh.
That felt good. That felt good to say that.
Yeah, for sure.
That felt good to say that, man. Episode number 83, Mike Nice. What's up, bro? We're back.
Summer 2021, huh?
Summertime.
Summer 2021 is here. It's been a summer. To say the least.
What does that mean?
It's been a more wide open summer than 2020.
Yeah.
And a lot of people thought 2020 was going to be wild.
Yeah. Definitely been able to see people out more.
Mm-hmm.
Out and about, getting some food, going out to places they weren't able to go out. Movie theaters are back open. What movie's been out? We got Black Widow that's been out. Space Jam 2,
A New Legacy, freaking movie.
Let's not get into that, bro. Let's not get into that. But you know, we took a little time off, summertime, you know, get the mental right here on season 3. I hope everyone sometime during this summer was able to take a little bit of time off and just, you know, recuperate.
Important
after especially a trying year. Mike, I was able to go to Paris, man. I was able to go to Paris this summer and, you know, got to see my grandmother, got to see a wedding, got to be in Europe, you know, see a whole different type of culture for 2 weeks. And that was amazing, man. Amazing trip just to clear my head a little bit, escape a little bit from reality. That's what's going on in here. And just to be out, man. It was good to be out and about this summer.
Yeah, I mean, when it's summertime, you know, that brings along trips and traveling and whatnot. And obviously, if you're able to make a trip happen, you know, you said you went to Europe. If you're able to make a trip happen, do it. By all means, get out there. Be out and about. Travel. See the world. Lounge. Clear your head. You know, do what you got to do. And, you know, I haven't been able to do much traveling this summer. But at the same time, just being able to have the time off from work and relax and chill and do what I want to do and not have the stress of work, just to have that time. That's all I need. You know, people ask me all the time, oh, summer vacation, you know, you going anywhere, you do anything? If I have a trip planned, I have a trip planned. If not, I'm not even upset about it, because, you know, I just like that time to just be in my own space, not having to stress about work, and just chill, be on my own time, do what I want to do.
What does Mike Nice do on his own time?
You know, I'm an avid bike rider right now. I love to bike when the weather's good. If you've been around these parts in Massachusetts, you know, this July weather has been different. When you talk about summertime, you're expecting hot weather and sunshine and blue skies. But the majority of July has been full of rain and more rain. So now, as the weather's getting a little bit better these last couple of days, you know, try to get out on a bike and just bike ride and clear my head, listen to good music, and just ride.
Yeah, there's no in between. It's either raining or it's super hot.
One or the other.
We haven't been able to get that nice, lovely summer weather, 80 degrees, clear skies.
Few days here and there, a few days.
It's been rough. When I was in France, it was 70 degrees every day. I loved it. Beautiful.
Hey, man.
I can't ask for much. 70, anywhere in the 70s for me, it's perfect. I know some people like it a little too hot. Some people like the fall weather, but if you can give me some 70 degrees consistently, that's my wave. That's my wave right there.
Anywhere between 73 and like an 83, I think is solid.
It's not bad.
Anywhere between those two numbers, I could do. Anything less than that, it's like, oh, it's not that hot. Anything hot is, damn, it's kind of hot.
Yeah, like today. Today has been hot. Today was 90. But man, it's Double M. If you're new to the show, it's Mike Nice, Mies, and we just have conversations, and we like to get you guys' opinions, hear from what you guys have to say. So make sure you hit that like button. If you are new here, make sure you subscribe. And the way we start off every show, we ask Mike Nice, what is on the playlist?
So definitely a lot of conversation, a lot of topics have gone through and passed by. And I mean, as even though Marv and I could sit here and talk for hours and hours about the different things going on, and definitely listening to what you guys have to say. You know, like Marv said, join the conversation if you're on Facebook, if you're tuned in, you know, that comment box, that chat box is wide open. So definitely be a part of the conversation here. But a couple of things we definitely want to touch upon today in this episode number 83. Shout out to Dion Branch. Shout out to Wes Welker.
Wes Welker.
Just a few to name. The 2021 Tokyo Olympics is taking place right now.
Is it?
You know, you could fool some people. You could fool some people. But yeah, the 2021s, what was supposed to be the 2020 Olympics, got pushed to 2021. It's taking place right now in Tokyo. And you know, this Olympics just doesn't feel the same. It doesn't have the same hype. There's a lot of things that's happening with the Olympics. We're definitely going to dive into that conversation and, you know, get our thoughts and feelings as well as your thoughts and feelings on this year's Olympics for sure. Also, for those Celtics fans out there, you know, obviously the NBA is not going on, not too much. Well, there has been some Celtics news, but the rumors floating around right now is the possibility of one Bradley Beal, who currently plays for the Washington Wizards, could be looking for a trade. And one destination that's on his list is the Boston Celtics, largely due to the fact that his childhood friend Jason Tatum plays for the Celtics. So we'll get into that conversation, get our thoughts and opinions on that trade possibly happening, maybe not happening, who knows. Also, I know Marv wanted to dive into this topic, and I like the fact that you brought this topic because, you know, I do have some thoughts and opinions on it as well. Posthumous albums that, you know, are released from artists who have passed away, posthumous albums, thoughts, feelings, opinions on those. I know you have some.
We've been trying to figure out. See, we've been trying to figure out how to say this word because it's spelled posthumous.
But Google said it's posthumous. I think it's posthumous.
Posthumous. So if you are watching and you know the correct way to say, please correct them. But we're gonna go with posthumous.
Posthumous albums being released.
Yes.
But yeah, that is on the playlist today. Once again, it's Double M Live. This show doesn't roll along unless you guys are in the conversation with us. So by all means, join in. But let's get right to it, Marv.
Let's get it, man.
The 2021 Olympics in Tokyo. Popping off.
2021. So supposed to be 2020.
Supposed to be 2020, but we all know what took place in 2020, what's still somewhat still taking place in 2021, but they put the Olympics on hold last year. So they did everything in their power to make sure that it can happen in 2021 to make up for that lost time. And there's an Olympics taking place. What kind of Olympics and everything going on? I don't know. But I will say this personally, not that I was like a big, oh, I need to stay up and watch the Olympics and this and that. Not that I was always like that, but something about this year's Olympics just doesn't have the same
je ne sais quoi.
Something's missing. It's not the same.
I think there's several factors. It's like a perfect storm of why I think you feel this way. I feel this way. I haven't had much Olympics talks with people. This is probably the most I'm going to be talking the Olympics. But one thing is lack of star power. When you think of Olympics, man, like it only happens every 4 years. So when I'm thinking Olympics, I'm thinking mainly my childhood. And I'm thinking about names like Usain Bolt. Thinking about Michael Phelps. When the Olympics come on, you can't wait to just see how many gold medals is Michael Phelps going to get. What record is Usain Bolt going to win? You have Serena Williams. You know she's gonna take US on with the tennis. We're in a new wave, so like these are the newcomers coming in. I mean, you still have Simone Biles. She's the big name right now. When you think about Olympians and the records that she has broken, but one, the lack of star power, Two, the Olympics, and I gotta phrase these things carefully. People are getting canceled left and right for saying this.
We don't want double M canceled, Mark, please.
The Olympics is in Tokyo. They got a whole different type of time range than us.
I was gonna say nothing crazy, Mike.
I just listened.
It's in Tokyo. So some of their things that are going on is like at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and nobody's really going to stay up. Like the men's basketball game was like at 6 o'clock in the morning. Obviously, it wasn't at 6 o'clock in the morning in Tokyo, but I'm saying like there's a huge time difference. And so like matches and games and all that stuff are all over the place. So I think that plays a big role in consumption as well. And then the third thing, the most obvious one, the pandemic still going on. And you know, you hear players and athletes getting COVID or can't go to Tokyo anymore. It's just, there's a lot. And I think that's the perfect storm of why the Olympics hasn't hit like it used to. Like you go to a pizza shop or go to a barber shop and you know the Olympics will be on the TV. I don't see that this year.
Yeah, it's different. It's definitely different times right now when you talk about the Olympics. You talk about the time. I definitely trying to look up when's the next time the men's basketball team plays. And ESPN told me that game is at 12:30 a.m.
You see?
12:30 a.m. I'm going to stay up and watch it. I know I'm on vacation, but I'm not watching, sitting down, watching men's basketball play at 12:30 a.m. That's for one reason, the time. Second reason, and you know, we talk about the Olympics and whatnot and it's different events. And don't get me wrong. You know, Michael Phelps was swimming, you know, you really hype for him. You know, the big names, the star powers, like you said, whether it be swimming or gymnastics or, you know, tennis, whatnot. But then you always knew the U.S., for the most part, the USA men's basketball team, usually filled with star power, star talent, was like automatically going to go over there and dominate and take home the gold.
Right. When you think about the Olympics, you know a lot of the star power, known names, are going to come from the basketball. The
basketball, yeah. Over the years, you know, going back to when they first brought the NBA players with the Dream Team. And then, you know, of course, over the years, they've had some ups and downs. But most recently, you know, you got the Redeem Team. And then, you know, a couple other teams after that would have had Kobe and LeBron and Carmelo and Dwayne Wade and big name guys. This year, they got some big name. You know, Durant's there. You know, he's known globally. Tatum, stardom's on the rise.
Dame Lillard.
Stardom on the rise. After that,
It's a B team, all-star team.
Yeah. It's the all-star, the USA men's basketball team, you know, is not what it used to be, which is some of the reason why people like, yo, tune into the Olympics. And the one team that we're expecting to dominate and bring home all the gold, it kind of sucked.
Individually, they're great.
Oh, yeah. Individually, they're great. I think
Best roster on the Olympics.
You're talking about players assembled from the greatest league in the world. Individually, they're great talent. They come together as a team, and they're struggling, whether it be those exhibition games that they're playing. Then they played their first game, a real game against France. They lost. I mean, we could dive into the men's basketball team, how they're assembled, but I just think overall, that's one sport where you assume the U.S. is going to dominate, and they're not. So that's not helping draw much attention to the Olympics. Or if you're a fan of the U.S. and you're hoping the U.S. takes home a bunch of gold, that's taken away from it as well.
And then here's another thing. Do we really care about the Olympics?
No, good question.
Like seriously.
Good question.
Before, you know, when you're young, you really felt like the hype of the Olympics. But how much weight does the Olympics hold currently in 2021? Is it as big of a deal anymore? Like before, you know, you saw people with a lot of pride and going into the Olympics and, you know, winning it for their country. I don't really feel that. Maybe it's me personally, I could be wrong. This could be speaking for myself, and I don't feel that sensation of, oh my God, this person is going to the Olympics and they're going to get gold, and this is for America or this is for whatever country. Like, do the Olympics matter as much as they used to be? Did they ever matter? I mean, they used to matter, of course, we know historically, but how much weight does the Olympics hold in 2021 is my question. That's to you and everyone who's watching. How much weight does the Olympics hold? Do we care as much if it's like, if US doesn't win gold, tell you right now, I'm not losing any sleep. I'm not.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and our guy, our EP, executive producer, Sam just said, you know, comment, Olympics happening during a pandemic. I mean, if you go back to last year when it was getting close to the summer, I know there was some talk. Well, how early did they cancel the 2020 Olympics? I don't remember. But it was a conversation of, oh, the Olympics should still happen, this and that. And you go to this year, 2021. Well, the Olympics were going to make it happen, but clearly there's still things going on with, you know, the pandemic and people's safety and taking different precautions. I was watching the video, some video on Instagram earlier, just giving a behind-the-scenes look of stuff happening over there. And, you know, they got to, the way they go eat in the dining halls, they got to sanitize their hands and then sanitize plates and then sit down and sanitize again and switch masks and change forks and utensils and sanitize again. And, like, I understand that's what places have to do because we're a pandemic. Those are some things that take place. But is it that necessary to hold the Olympics knowing that the world is dealing with that? Do you need an Olympic Games that bad? While the pandemic, while it may not be at the same height it was a year ago, is it still necessary to have right now while there's still things going on where people are taking precautions and trying to be safe and whatnot because you're still somewhat dealing with COVID-19 being out and about?
Yeah, that's very valid. COVID plays a huge part of this. Luckily, you know, outside of the men's basketball team, I didn't hear, and this could be just my ignorance, I didn't hear of any big name stars that couldn't travel due to COVID outside of the basketball team. Once again, we have Super Soka saying care because it's only you see superstars be competitive. And yeah, and you're specifically talking about basketball. If you found out that the men's swimming team got bronze, do you care?
No, I couldn't name you one person that's swimming right now for the U.S. swim team.
No, I mean, I probably could 8 years ago because you watch Phelps, you recognize
the team. Phelps and Ryan Lofty,
Dude that used to get faded. He used to get faded.
It's only 2 days I know. Michael Phelps and Ryan Lofty.
But that's star power. Mm-hmm. Star power drives it. So I guarantee if there's a budding star that comes out of the Olympics in 2 weeks, the following 4 years, we're going to look out for that person. Like, okay, let's see what they do this year. There just wasn't no star really outside of Simone Biles, and I'm talking generic. Obviously, I don't follow most of these. I don't follow gymnastics. I don't follow the swimming team. If it's not there in my face, I'm not following. But if there's a budding superstar, it definitely catches my attention, right? And another thing that's with these Olympics, I've seen something where it's like NBC is not even allowing clips, right, to be shared on social media, like on Twitter and such. And at first, I didn't even realize, but then I thought to myself, wow, that's true. I'm not really seeing any highlights of things that's going on with Olympics. And that's a big F up on NBC and the Olympics part. If you want to drive people to see things, in this generation that we're in, a 10-second clip could change anything. That can make me say, oh, I want to see how this person does in the third round or how they advance. That's what got me with the Euro Cup. I couldn't watch every single game in the Euro Cup, but there was clips that were coming out on Twitter all the time. I said, oh, this person went off for 3 goals. I'm going to make sure I watch that team next week when they face so-and-so. There's none of that. I don't see no type of highlights or anything like that that's going on.
Yeah, I really don't see highlights. Like, I'm not. I got Bleacher Report and ESPN on my phone. I may get a notification of who won something, but like, do I want to just read a notification or do I want to see the highlights? And if I'm not seeing highlights, it's a little different. I know I see Super Soaker saying that track and field. And hey, if you like watching track and field, by all means, do that.
Oh, and I enjoy it.
But to some casual fans, when you're watching, if you know Usain Bolt running, oh, I'm tuned in. I remember a couple years ago, I was not missing a Usain Bolt.
Right.
Any event that Usain Bolt was participating in, because he's a star. He made what the track and field super famous. Now, the other guys down there that I personally don't know, yeah, that's on me. But now I don't know who's running track and field. I don't care if it's the U.S. team, Jamaican team. Like, I don't know anybody. And I don't even know when the events are happening.
2:00
Just as me, we're just too casual when it comes to it. We don't. But that's just speaking to the Olympics overall. I don't care that much. Unless somebody's trying to break a gold record and they're pushed in the limelight like Phelps and Usain Bolt. And those people, unless they're pushed out there constantly, then I'd be like, all right, let me tune it. Who was Usain Bolt until the media really started pushing him because he was breaking records? I didn't know. Who was Michael Phelps before the media started pushing him because he's getting all these medals? I don't know. But the media pushing him, I'm going to tune in. It's not really happening like that right now. For whatever reason, I don't know. Like, I don't, however they keep records of, you know, the Swatch Olympics. In time and history, I tell you what,
it ain't gonna be this.
It ain't gonna be 2021 in Tokyo. I promise you that.
It's not good. Like, I'm more interested in, and I don't want to sound like just the average typical guy, but like, I'm more interested in what's gonna happen with Aaron Rodgers than what's going on in the Olympics, because they're telling me more about what's happening with Aaron Rodgers in training camp than I'm hearing about the Olympics. It could also be how media's pushing the Olympics too. I'm hearing more about the NBA draft than I'm hearing about the Olympics.
And to casual fans, whatever's getting pushed out there, you're more likely to tune into.
Maybe every U.S. team just sucks right now. They're just not trying to.
The U.S. media is like, look, we don't need to show this because, I mean, the best team that's supposed to win the gold sucks. The basketball team sucks. I don't even know what the women's doing. I know the women usually go over there and clean up every year.
I haven't heard anything from them. But if I get the chance, I do want to watch the U.S. basketball team play. They just haven't played at a time that's reasonable.
Yeah. And then again, to try to find highlights,
it's very difficult. You gotta watch games through Twitch or download some NBC Sports. It's just
too much.
There's a lot going on. It's hard to consume everything right now. So I personally think, and it seems like Mike, we're on the same page, where it's just like it's not hitting the same this year. For various of reasons. Could it come back? I mean, yeah, I just don't know in this new age that we're in, like, if kids even care about the Olympics.
Nah, it's different right now.
Like, I remember being a kid, bro, and like, oh, word, the Olympics are coming up in 2 weeks. Get to just sit down and just watch random stuff I would never watch and just be interested in that. Yeah. That doesn't really... I don't think kids are really out there like, oh, word, the Olympics are on.
Yeah, it's not the same. But even though we're here saying this,
could be totally wrong.
Could be wrong, one. And two, if you're watching this show right now and you are very into the Olympics and staying up at those times and watching these different events, by all means, enjoy. Be happy. I see our boys saying the Olympics been putting him to sleep real nice last week. If you tuned in and watched it, enjoy it by all means. Olympics is going on. It's popping right now. Marvin and I just giving our thoughts and opinions.
Yeah, that's all. I just don't think it's hit. I mean, I got to do a better job at just – when I'm not doing anything, I just got to put on what's on NBC. Put on just NBC and just see if something catches my eye.
I'll catch up. Highlight.
I saw something. I don't know what it was. And if you've seen it too, like, it wasn't basketball, but it was a hoop. with no back.
Oh, netball. That's what it's called, netball, bro.
What is that?
I don't know, but I feel like it's. I heard for netball from my mom. I feel like it's something she used to play back in the Caribbean or something like that. It's an Olympic sport now.
I saw it. I said, "What the hell is this?"
It's just a hoop.
It's just hoop.
No backboard. Look hard as hell. I tell you what.
And like, I don't know the way they were. Sometimes you miss and you still got a point. It was just.
Oh, I don't know.
It was weird. Maybe I just couldn't understand what was going on. But it wasn't dribbling like that. I didn't see no Kyrie.
I got more questions, but I ain't gonna ask them right now. Is it a men and women sport?
You, this is gonna be bad, but I couldn't tell. It's like, ladies,
maybe it was co-ed. Olympic got co-ed sports, bro.
Yeah, they definitely got co-ed sports. No,
what sport they do co-ed?
I don't know, bro. I just made that up. I just made that up. I couldn't tell what the.
Oh, man.
I don't know. Like I said, I'm not trying to get canceled.
It's netball, I believe.
Netball, I just didn't understand. I know handball. Handball's an Olympic sport.
Yeah. I know the javelin.
Yeah, track and field, bro.
Track and field. And they got some new stuff they've added. I think like karate.
Karate's an Olympic sport?
I feel like it is. There's some new stuff added this year, I'm pretty sure. Can I tell you what exactly? I'm not 100% sure, but I know they've added some new events in or sports or something like that. And I feel like karate might be one of them.
That's nice. That's nice. Give these kids an opportunity. Hope it's not some grown-ass man doing karate.
You think it's kids? You think it's the karate kid out there, bro?
Yeah, bro. Some grown-ass man doing karate?
It's a sport, bro. I get
your black belt by the time you're like 13.
I'm novice when it comes to some of these sports. I'm a novice when it comes to Olympics.
Got dojo instructors signing up for the do karate.
They advanced. You want to see little kids try to do karate?
Yes.
Or you want to see freaking real martial art masters who've mastered it for years in their craft doing it?
Ninjas.
You want to see ninjas fight or little kids? Trying their best.
Nah, bro, kids are nice if they got their black belts.
But if they master ninjas after like 15 years, bro?
Let's change the subject, bro. Because this is going off. Why we gotta be?
It's karate. It's different forms of fighting that ninjas can do. This karate, taekwondo, jiu-jitsu.
Oh, man.
I don't know, man. Like I said, I'm a novice.
Yeah, martial arts should be in the Olympics. Why not?
I think it is.
Martial arts in the Olympics.
Super Soaker saying ping pong is a sport in there.
Ping pong is a sport?
I
always knew ping pong was in the Olympics.
I'm decent at ping pong.
But is it a sport?
Yeah.
Yes, it's a sport.
It's a little workout. Chasing that. You don't play ping pong, chasing that ball. I mean, it's not like a tennis court.
Is dart a sport?
Is throwing darts a sport? If bowling is a sport, darts is a sport.
Darts is a sport.
If bowling is a sport, darts is a sport.
I didn't ask about bowling. I never brought up bowling once. Is throwing darts a sport?
Okay, I'm gonna answer your question. Is bowling a sport?
I think bowling is considered a
sport. Okay, now to answer your question, darts is a sport.
Why is darts a sport?
What the hell, bowling is a sport? It's darts because you got to throw the darts, and depending on your accuracy, it's about accuracy
and your aim. Because it's a skill, it's a sport.
Yeah, bro. Bowling, dang. I'm pretty sure.
We got our boy Sean from Massive Media saying that darts is a sport.
Yeah, bro, bowling is a sport. Bowling is a sport, dart sport.
All right. Archery?
Archery is also a sport.
So hunting's a sport?
Yeah, bro. They be hunting, animals and stuff. That's a sport, bro. Yeah. Might be illegal some places, but it's a sport. Hunting season. You ever just see cartoon rabbit season? Yeah. Duck season.
It's not a sport.
It's a sport, bro. People hunt for activity, for fun, right, sport. So,
it's cause of...
Huh? I don't want to...
Is NASCAR a sport, bro?
NASCAR has always confused me. What about driving a car really fast is a sport. I don't know. I don't know if I consider. I don't know if I personally consider it fast because all you're doing is driving a car.
But it takes skill, right?
Yeah, and because you know you got these races, some people have better skill than others. So, Jeff Gordon was nasty at driving,
right? So throwing darts.
I drive down 93. I can stay in my lane. Does that mean I'm a sports? I'm in a sport.
But you don't. You're not drifting.
Hey, merging on somebody's merging on and off, it could be kind of wild. Roundabouts kind of crazy, bro.
So you calling yourself a race car sports athlete?
I could do it.
You could do it.
I could drive NASCAR.
You can't do it. You can't do it. You're disrespecting.
I can't put my foot on a pedal and turn wheel.
You're disrespecting the sport.
Oh my goodness.
You're disrespecting the sport, bro.
That's crazy.
You called yourself Jeff Gordon. Name me three others.
Huh? Jeff Gordon, Dale Earnhardt Jr., and
I was gonna say
and Bubba Wallace.
Bubba Wallace, all right.
I know it's a little bit of. I used to play a NASCAR game on PlayStation 2. I don't know where I got it from.
Yeah, I tell you, I know where you got it. You didn't buy it.
I didn't buy it. Oh my goodness! Oh, this is Double M, man. You see what it is. Conversations flowing wild. We see the chat popping off. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Double Evans live right now. Press that share button. Press that like button. Spread the word.
Super Soaker don't like the idea that shooting is an event, huh?
What? So shooting a gun as
shooting,
a sport?
Shooting ducks. You gotta... I think that's what it is, right?
Oh, when they throw the disc in there, shoot that?
That's a duck. Sorry, disc. We don't.
That's a sport. I mean, it's similar like throwing darts. It's about accuracy.
So, how you want to consider that a sport and not race driving a car?
What a because you're shooting, you're aiming, and you're throwing a duck. What about driving? Is a sport?
It's not just driving though.
Turning the wheel and pressing the gas.
Speed. The need for speed.
It's a great game.
Drifting.
Need for Speed Underground.
Knowing how to shift the gears. If everyone could do it, why doesn't everyone do it?
you don't see the highway, bro. You don't see people driving sometimes. They doing it out there.
Oh, my God.
They doing it. Various type of cars. They doing it. But, I mean, everybody different. I don't know. NASCAR's always been weird to me. Don't get in that argument with NASCAR drivers and fans, though.
And I hope if anyone's a fan of the Indy 500, you talk to Mike
now. I like Jeff Gordon, though. I'm a huge Jeff Gordon fan.
You're a huge Jeff Gordon
fan? I really like what Jeff Gordon was racing.
You're a huge Jeff Gordon fan.
Yes. Jeff Gordon was nice, bro. He was one of the best.
You're telling me you sat down. And you
I've like, never watched the NASCAR
but
race.
You're a huge Jeff
Gordon. He was on the Wheaties box in Frosted Flakes, bro. I remember back in the day, Jeff Gordon was popping.
So what makes you a Jeff Gordon fan?
I like he won a lot of races.
But
like
what him. Makes you a fan?
He was one of the best racers.
How do you know? You didn't watch him.
ESPN, bro, told me he won run the race.
So because ESPN told you he won, you became a fan of his.
Man, Jeff Gordon was nice.
I'm not saying he was. My question is, why are you a fan?
He had a job racing in NASCAR. Listen. Yo, Sam, chill out, bro. Come on, Sam. Oh man.
Yeah, NASCAR fans are different. They ain't gonna argue with you.
Hey,
they'll throw a couple words in there. And the argument go ahead real quick.
Hey, Michael Jordan owns something.
He does.
I forgot which one.
Is it Bubble Team Jordan?
Something like that. Something. I'm not too sure. But hey, man, we can stay on this conversation. Just from Olympics to different sports.
My fault. I just wanted to know, like, skateboarding's a sport?
Tony Hawk.
I didn't ask for the skateboard. I didn't ask.
Tony Hawk, pro skater too.
Is skateboarding a sport?
Yeah, bro. Like biking, snowboarding.
So biking's a sport, but NASCAR's not a sport.
It's different. You just pressing a gas and turning the wheel. Biking, you pedaling, that's a lot of work, leg work. You're not putting it. What?
I agree, biking's a sport. Okay. I'm with you on that.
What kind of strenuous activity are you putting on your cardiovascular system through NASCAR?
You're not. But then I can ask that question for a lot of sports.
Fishing?
Is fishing a sport?
I feel like you do more.
Those are skills. Like throwing darts a skill. Archery's a skill. Shooting's a skill. Can't use that cardiovascular argument because some sports don't use it. You see some big dudes play golf. Golf's considered a sport.
You do more with your body in golf than you do in NASCAR, I think. You're pressing the gas and you're turning the wheel.
Know what we got to do? We got to get a NASCAR
expert
to come on this show.
Okay.
To teach you a lesson.
Hey, I'm open to learning.
Because you're disrespectful.
I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm just stating my opinion. That's all I'm doing.
So skateboard's a sport.
Take a lot to skateboard, bro. You ever trying to be on a skateboard before?
I didn't ask if it was hard. Is it a sport? Because now we're just talking, any skills can be a sport.
Bro, skateboarding is a sport.
Okay.
I think.
Roller skating is a sport.
Never seen Brink, bro, on Disney Channel?
No.
Never seen that movie, Brink? Never watched those Disney original movies, Brink, bro? Never heard of Brink?
No, you could say Ted Todd's not going to jog my memory.
Okay, I don't know. Let's switch gears here, bro, because we can go about a bunch of different sports.
If you have any other sports questions, just put it in the chat. We might get to it later.
All right, cool. Let's switch gears a little bit. Back to the sports tip and Celtics and basketball, you know, kind of tied in with the Olympics and the U.S. men's basketball team. Always hear about players coming together, and it kind of really started when Dwayne Wade and Carmelo Anthony and LeBron James were on the Olympic team. People say, oh, that's – I mean, and Chris Bosh was there too, sorry. That's where they started first really having talks about coming together and building a big three and whatnot. That's where it all started. So now every Olympics, that's going to be what happens. Oh, these are time for guys to tamper and talk to each other about teaming up. I think that's just what's going to happen every time the Olympics comes around and these NBA players come together. But yeah, here in the 2021 Olympics.
How many players are talking to Jeremy Grant?
I don't know. That dude might sit at his locker by himself.
Come on, bro.
He might.
I'd say call him a loser.
His only friend on the team was Kevin Love, and now he gone.
Oh, my God.
But anyways.
You caught that reference. That's going to go over people's heads.
Anyways. So, yeah, supposedly maybe these star players are possibly talking to each other about teaming up at some point in their careers. And then you got this Bradley Beal and Jason Tatum situation where, you know, you always hear these guys are childhood friends from St. Louis, Missouri. The guys are great friends. And every time the Wizards play the Celtics, you know, you always hear about the friendship. They always bring it up. And now they were at the Olympics together before Bradley Beal got sent home due to COVID.
Sorry.
So sorry to him. But yeah, those rumors sparked up again about these two guys possibly playing together. And you fast forward not too very recently, Bradley Beal may possibly request a trade out of Washington because that team is clearly not going anywhere. And he has a possible list of destinations and places he'd want to go. And one of those places was the Boston Celtics. And it's obviously because Celtics aren't a great team right now, but they have two young stars. But the main reason for Beal wanting to go to the Celtics is because of his friendship with Jason Tatum. Now, obviously, you can't just sign Beal. He's not a free agent. A trade would have to take place. And the main question is, and you know a lot of sports Boston media, would you give up Jaylen Brown to get Bradley Beal?
Is that where I jump in?
Would you give up Jaylen Brown
to
get Bradley Beal just because Beal and Tatum are best friends?
No, sorry. Cry me a river. But, I mean, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to trade JB for Bradley Beal. And I'm not even saying it because I'm a big fan of Jaylen Brown, which I am, but it just doesn't add up. You have a budding young star who's gotten better every single year and plays defense. So what happens when you trade Jaylen Brown in, for Bradley Beal? Okay, you bring in Bradley Beal, a better score. That's it. Bradley Beal is a dynamic scorer, can play off the ball very well. We know that. But he does not. He will not make the Celtics team any better by getting rid of Jaylen Brown. Where you have someone locked in, 24 years old, where you can continue to groom, continue to get better, where he can become a potential Kawhi-like player, you keep that 100% of the time. Now, if you want to get Bradley Beal, you can try to work a sign and trade. You either wait till his contract is up and see if you can bring him in to add within the Jaylen Brown situation. Sure. But Bradley Beal's not even a player I think the Celtics need right now. You lost Kemba. So yeah, so you're obviously going to need some type of punch into the scoring. Evan Fournier is going to help with that. You definitely need to get a point guard that can get you at least 15 points and distribute the basketball. Tatum's already shown that he is a dynamic scorer and is going to get you 25 plus a game. JB's looking like he's going to get you 23 plus a game. Bradley Beal's not the piece that the Celtics need currently. He's going to add a scoring punch, but at the end of the day, Celtics were giving up 130 points a game. You need to focus back on playing defense, and that is not in Bradley Beal's MO. I love him. I think he's a fantastic player. He can probably shoot you in some games where you have no business in being, but it doesn't make sense of getting rid of JB. I don't see a subtraction, but I also don't see a plus.
Yeah, I agree 100%. You know, you look at Bradley Beal. And like you said, fantastic player, great scorer. You know, he goes off for the Washington Wizards. They lose a lot of games, but if one thing you know for sure, Bradley Beal's getting you close to 30 points a game, which is great. But if you look at Bradley Beal and who he is, obviously he's not like a super old player. He might be only 28 years old, but I don't see Bradley Beal. I think what he is right now is who he's going to be.
Right.
But what you see from Bradley Beal right now is what he's going to be, 28, 29, 30. Like, that's what he is. Jaylen Brown is 24 years old. Since he's been in the league, he's continued to show improvement. He's continued to get better with different areas of his game. Why make that trade? And there's people who say, oh, well, you know, it'll help the team chemistry because Tatum and Beal are good friends. Unless Tatum and Jaylen Brown got some serious beef where they've said they don't want to play with each other, they don't like each other or something, maybe that's where you entertain the idea. But from all accounts, and I know there's people in the media who try to sometimes push this narrative, well, they're not really friends, they're not best, but from all accounts, they have no beef with each other. Are they chilling at each other's crib on the weekends? Maybe not. But it comes down to playing basketball, which is what they're supposed to do, it doesn't seem like they have any beef or issues and they work just fine. Now, the team around them needs to be better. I think we can all agree with that. But at the end of the day, I don't think a trade needs to happen because it's not necessarily changing anything on the team. And I don't think the whole friendship thing matters because I think Tatum and Brown are just fine. Now, I've also heard the other idea of possibly, well, could you get Beal without giving up Brown? Now you're talking about losing Smart, Fournier, Tristan Thompson, and draft picks. Now you're talking about all of that.
Now you lose depth.
Now you lose depth, and they got to rebuild the team that way. Building a big three with Tatum, Brown, and Beal, it sounds nice. It looks sexy. It looks cool and all, but you're damn near having three players at the same position in a sense. That doesn't help your team. Like, yeah, you'll get a scoring punch, but like, people already sometimes complain, well, Tatum and Brown kind of play the same position, so do you need both? Now you're possibly talking about three guys at the same position? I don't know. It sounds great. It looks great. But I don't know what it necessarily does for your team. At the end of the day, I think what it boils down to is you have a player in Jaylen Brown who is continuously showing improvement every year he's been in the league. And he's only 24, turning 25, nowhere near his prime yet. Neither is Tatum. So there's no point in making that move. And I know I brought it up on, I posted on Facebook something. Well, you got to keep your star player happy. And if that's what Tatum wants, you got to keep him happy. Again, I don't think Tatum is pissed off right now that Bradley Beal is not his teammate and he has to be stuck with Jaylen Brown. That hasn't, we haven't seen anything like that at all from him. We haven't seen anything like that from Brown. Is Brown pissed with playing with Tatum? We haven't got that notion at all. What it boils down is the team around them needs to be better. Now, if these dudes want to revisit this later on, like you said, if Beal's contract is up and he wants to come sign with the Celtics, it's a different story. That's a different conversation.
Oh, come on down.
But I don't think you give up Brown, who could possibly get to the same level as Beal, maybe even surpass him because Brown is a two-way player. This is not a move you make.
And I think there's a potential for that to happen. Bradley Beal, once again, excuse me, an amazing, amazing offensive player. But he hasn't shown that he can help. He hasn't seen he can carry a team to the playoffs. They barely got in within the play-in tournament with Westbrook. Like him, think JB has another notch that he can get to. And you don't want to be that GM, Brad Stevens, to trade away a budding superstar. It doesn't make sense. It wouldn't work out. You gotta wait it out. I know Bradley Beal's a sexy name, but I just don't see it helping the Celtics immediately. Not at this moment. If Bradley Beal was a point guard, now we're talking interest, but right now he's a two guard, scores any which way you want, but I don't see it right now with the Celtics draft coming up Thursday. We'll see what moves they make during this offseason. Brad's got a lot on his plate. I'm surprised Tristan Thompson's still on this team. He's looking like the odd man out right now. We'll see what they do with Marcus Smart. And that's when we'll know where this team is heading. That Marcus Smart decision that Brad Stevens makes, excuse me, it's going to be huge.
Yeah, I mean, the new coach, you know, he may talk up Marcus Smart a lot in his press conference and whatnot. And it made it seem as if, you know, they really look at him as, you know, a huge part of this team. You know, I've thought just over the last few years, and I think maybe, you know, Ime thinks this as well. The core is Brown, Tatum, and Smart. And what you put around them three guys, you got to figure that out. But those are the three core guys. Hopefully, in my opinion, I don't want them to move Smart. You know, I just think it's about who you bring around them three guys, mainly those two guys, but who you bring around those three guys.
I like Smart. I just don't see him as a core.
I think the team does.
I mean, Brad brought in Jaylen Brown, Tatum, and Marcus Smart when it came to the coaching decision. And, you know, the team obviously values Marcus Smart. But if things need to get shaken up, and I think we all agree things need to be shaken up, and if Marcus Smart, sucks to say, if he had to be the sacrifice.
It all depends on what's coming in return.
Yeah, of course. It would have to depend. Like, Pelicans tried to offer some sorry-ass trade with Eric Bledsoe and some number 13 pick. Yeah, cool. Get that out of here. Now, if it was for Orlando's Vucevic at the time, like I said before, sign me up. But we'll see. We'll see what Marcus Smart's value is at this point in his career as well.
I think Super Soaker Sane is asking about Kyle Lowry's a possible option at point guard for the Celtics.
Yeah, at the right price.
Yeah, we're not giving. I saw something today. Price.
$90 million 3 years.
Yeah, looking for Kyle Lowry's looking for money. And look, Kyle Lowry's nice. Celtics don't need to be giving that much money to Kyle Lowry.
No.
He can go find that somewhere. By all means, good luck to him. But Celtics are not in a position to give
Kyle
him that
Lowry
much.
Would be perfect for this team. Like, he'd be the perfect, like, the exact point guard you need is a player like Kyle Lowry. His asking price, though,
it's too much.
Crazy. He brings the toughness, plays defense, can score at time moments,
and know how to get the ball around.
He's like the perfect person you would want to be on this young team. Is a Kyle Lowry. You couldn't ask for anything better. Maybe like a Mike Conley, a Kyle Lowry. Those type of players is what you would want out of your team.
Yeah. Quick question. Is it fair to say that Kemba was just never going to work here from the jump? I think we all got hype off the name of Kemba Walker and what he was. But like, was he just never going to work out here?
Explain why you said that.
Assuming Tatum and Brown were becoming what they were going to become. And knowing, like, we can look at this team now, like, I need a guard who can facilitate, get the ball out there. You would love somebody who can distribute and get Tatum and Brown and other players, if you had good shooters on your team, get them the ball to set them. That's not really who Kemba is.
I think...
So that's what I'm saying. Knowing that Tatum and Brown have become or were going to become what they are, was Kemba ever really a good fit?
Yes.
Because Kemba's a scoring point guard.
Right.
Kyrie was a scoring point guard. Yes. But Kyrie was like an automatic 25, go up there and do that.
Mm-hmm.
Kemba!
I think with Brad Stevens' system, yes. Kemba could have worked. Due to how they move the ball. And it's not like when Kemba was on playing decently, he was a ball stopper.
No.
You know, he wasn't someone who dominated the ball. He still let Tatum and Brown cook. It's just Kemba was the issue. Kemba wasn't consistent. Kemba, when you got to the playoffs in the bubble, like, it really kills me. Because I saw this coming, Celtics had a huge opportunity in the bubble to win it all.
They did.
A huge opportunity to win it all. And Kemba's was a huge reason why that didn't happen. You asked for a veteran quarterback. You asked for a veteran point guard to come in, and he wasn't able to deliver as he should have. So I think Kemba could have worked in a perfect world in Brad Stevens' system and the way how they move the ball, things like that. But once Tatum Brown don't really play in Brad Stevens' system, but that's because they're becoming their own superstars in themselves. But yeah, Kemba could have worked out in a perfect world with his skill set.
We got a brand new system now, though. So this is a brand new system. So we're gonna see what Coach Ime Udoka brings to the table.
With Tatum and Brown, and last year proved it, you need a scoring point guard. You needed someone to get buckets as well.
You need a combo guard.
Yeah.
Like a Brogdon, Drew Holiday.
Exactly. Like, look at when Marcus Smart is on. The team goes. Like, there's times when Marcus is playing the point guard and the team plays well when Marcus is on, he's scoring, he's being able to facilitate. That's when the Celtics are at their best. You look at times when Kyrie was hurt or when IT were hurt and Marcus had to play that point. The team didn't really falter. They played really well. You remember those times when Kyrie was gone and it was like, oh, man, the Celtics record is better when Kyrie's out than when he's playing. That was a conversation. Marcus Smart was able, not saying he should be the starter, whatnot, but it's like when you have someone who could score and defend and facilitate, it worked. It worked with the Celtics. That's why I think you still need someone that can get you 15 plus as a point guard, but understand that everyone needs to get theirs as well. While we're here, though, we're going to talk to you guys, give you guys a quick update with Double M and what we've been doing. And we're going to switch our batteries as well. But Double M still on season three. Sean, you can
switch. You're good, bro.
Double M still on season three. We had a lot of guests this season. A lot from.
I can list some off.
Yeah, like what?
Oh, yeah. Oh, we had on Irk. Here rocking with us.
We had Irk, our boy, Jamal Bonnet, the painter, the creator, the artist himself. And then from there, we just went.
Yeah. Shout out to, you know, the Soulful Sheep Pod and the Girlfriend's Guide Pod for joining us for a great show. We had the return of T-Mac.
That was a good one.
Good show. We're going to see T-Mac again for sure soon. Just like we're going to see Soulful She and the Girlfriend's Guide. We're going to see them again soon. We were joined by A. Sherrod Blakely. Shout out to A. Sherrod for coming through.
He blessed us. That was our first big
guest. Yeah. Man. Shout out to A. Sherrod for real. Kwani A. Lunas joined the show. Yeah, cool. Gave us a good one. Great show indeed. Shout out to who else we had here. Celtics legend Cedric Maxwell came on the show.
Still my favorite.
Yeah, man. I'm telling you, if you get a chance, go back and check that show out. I said Celtics legend, but we talked zero Celtics. For over an hour, we talked zero Celtics with Cedric Maxwell. So if you get a chance, if you didn't get to hear that show, go check it out. He gave us some real talk and real conversation. Patriots insider Tom E. Curran came on the show, blessed us with some good Patriots talk, give us some good inside information, you know, because that's just what he does. Our guy Kyle Draper came on the show right as we were getting into the NBA playoffs. He came in and gave his thoughts and feelings on what the playoffs is going to look like. I wish I could. I got to go back and listen to that show and see our predictions, because I don't know if any of those predictions came through like we all thought they would. And then, you know, we had a couple of shows where our guy Real Snipematic came through and blessed us with a club exhibit, playing some good music, mixing some good tunes. He held it down.
Yeah, a lot of replay value in there, y'all. So if you ever need some time to catch up on Double M, definitely go onto the YouTube, check out our old video. And yeah, let's get into our next topic.
So I know you wanted to bring this topic up, Marv, so I'm going to let you kind of lead with this one. Once you said it to me, it brought some thoughts and feelings to my mind, but I'll definitely let you, you know, bring this one up from here.
Yeah, man. So we're going to speak on posthumous albums, meaning, you know, albums that have come out after an artist has, you know, unfortunately passed. If you guys all know that the Pop Smoke album just released, Pop Smoke's album just released like 2 weeks ago, I believe. It was like around the time I just came back from my vacation. Pop Smoke had just released his album. Obviously, they were unedited versions, so like you needed a lot of guests. A lot of guests needed to be on the album to fill in a lot of the verses that were unfinished from Pop Smoke. Good album. I liked it. The reason I came up with this topic, and I'm forgetting who said it, and I want to give him a shout out. So hopefully later when Mike's speaking, I'll go on check who said. They said that Pop Smoke's album was their best posthumous album they ever heard. Like, that was the best one done. And I don't agree with him at all, but it just got me thinking about.
You don't agree or disagree?
I don't agree. Okay, I don't believe that Pop Smoke was the best posthumous album. But it got me, just my mind thinking about posthumous albums and how do we feel about them? Are they necessary? Does it mess up the vision of the artist? Is it disrespectful? I know you're trying to show respect. Like, where's the balance between it? I remember having that conversation even when we first met. When we were talking about Michael Jackson's, which album was
Escape?
That? Escape album that came out like maybe 2012, around that time, and there was some unfinished music that, you know, artist came in and finished for Michael. You hear his vocals, but if you know anything about Michael Jackson, you know he's a perfectionist, and he will change anything from the littlest beats and ad-libs and things like that. So was it their vision? And then you got posthumous albums like Biggie, Life After Death, where he did that album. That album was complete, and he just happened to die 2 weeks before the release. So you knew that was his vision. That was his album. And obviously the death carried that album to become bigger than life, pretty much. So just thoughts on posthumous albums. I want to just have this conversation with everybody.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm happy you brought up Biggie, because I wasn't even thinking about that when I was going to make my original point. But with Biggie's Life After Death album, like you said, the album was done.
Yeah.
He did all the work to put out that album. So, like, his vision, his thought process, everything he wanted to go into that album was there, was done, it was completed. He just happened to die, unfortunately, before the album was released. So, with those type of situations, I don't know how common they are, but with those type of situations, you know, at least you know that artist gave their all to that album before it went out to the masses. Now, and I think in most cases, we talk about posthumous albums, you know, they're getting released without the artists having much input into what's being released. And I never really gave it too much thought, you know, before, until you and I had that Michael Jackson conversation. Because if you know me well, you know, Michael Jackson is my favorite artist of all time. And like Marv said, he is a perfectionist. He go back and change things, do things differently. He don't like a little bit of this, got to go fix that. Like, that's just how Michael Jackson operated.
Real quick, even Paul Smoke's first album is a posthumous album as well. He passed away right before Shoot for the Stars.
But is that another situation that was already done?
That was done.
Yes. Okay. So yeah, different kind of situation. Album's already done. It's just unfortunately that they die before it gets released. But yeah, Michael Jackson's album. I feel like they dropped something before Escape that I fully remember. But Escape was like the big album that was pushed once he died. And don't get me wrong, Escape has some good songs, like some songs you feel like they have some good songs on it. And I'll listen to Escape. I got Escape songs on my playlist that I'll listen to. But it'll always be in the back of my mind that Michael Jackson, or if it's not Michael Jackson, another artist has a posthumous album that comes out. No matter how much I'd be like, oh, this song got a good beat, whatnot, it'll always be in the back of my mind that the artist never had the final say on what this song or the songs on the album sounds like. I don't care what producers, what top producers, what artists you bring in to sing on a song and add a verse. I don't care who you bring in. It's always going to be on the top of my mind that this song sounds good, it sounds great, but it never had that stamp of approval from that artist because they're no longer with us. So like I said, that album from Michael Jackson has some great songs on it that I will listen to right now. Like, they're good songs, but I always be like, damn, I wonder what Michael Jackson would have thought about this finished product, and we'll never know. That's the unfortunate part. That sucks a lot of the times.
Yeah, and going back to Pop Smoke's recent album, like I said, this is all unfinished music, right? So you'll hear Pop Smoke probably have one verse, and then another artist will come and complete the song. And it's like, one, it's a year after his death. So do we really need to push another Pop Smoke album? Was this a money grab? Mm. And then another thing, and it could all be love, you know. I'm just throwing things out there. Also, like, would Pop Smoke work with half of these artists that are on this album?
Ooh, that's another conversation. You know,
especially with rap albums. I think with rap albums, when you have a posthumous album and you just throwing artists in there to complete music, it's like, damn, you just throwing. Do we know Pop Smoke would have wanted that dude to be on this track if he had that video? Like, we'll never know. Another posthumous album that came out was DMX's. That's what, another one. Heard that. You ever heard that one? It's really good. But that's one where, from what my understanding is, it was mostly complete. Mm. Like the guest artists, everything was complete. And there's a couple songs in the end of the album. You can hear, obviously, them shouting out and giving praise to DMX after his passing and such. So it's an interesting topic, especially with rap albums. I think when you add in features, you don't really know who that artist want to work with or where they wanted to go with it, where the bridge was. Like when Escape album, they have what, Timbaland working on it. And they did an amazing job with it. I mean, if you didn't know anything about Michael Jackson, you heard it like, okay, this is what Michael Jackson wanted to sound like. And I don't think you'd be upset about it. But when you peel back the curtains, you definitely have some thoughts about these albums. So, I mean, posthumous albums are always going to be there.
Yeah, they're always going to happen.
They're always going to happen, unfortunately, and unfortunately for fans. So this is a topic I want to bring up.
And it's a large part of fans. Like, I'm a big Michael Jackson fan. He passed away. Would I have been upset if I never heard a new Michael Jackson song again? It wouldn't necessarily bother me. I mean, of course I want more Michael Jackson music. There's fans out there who be like, look, he passed away. Leave his stuff alone. And a lot of these artists, they have a lot of unfinished music. They have songs that they work on that they just be like, I'm not really feeling this. We're not going to put this on the album. You know, it's recorded, but it's not songs they use. As a fan, me personally, if they get released and I hear them, I'm happy. Like, sure, I'd love to hear a song Michael Jackson worked on 1 year but decided not to release it. But at the same time, I'm not going to be going to, like, his family or the record label, release his music, release it. Like, nah. And, I mean, there's fans who want to hear it. There's fans who don't care. There's fans who, like, leave it alone. There's people on all different ends of the spectrum that, you know, I don't know.
When it ended off, I did write on my notes my top five posthumous albums that I've enjoyed. So at number five, we mentioned it a couple times already. I got Escape, Michael Jackson. Enjoyable. There's a lot of good songs that come on randomly. And I think Blue Gangsta is probably the hardest track.
Blue Gangsta, Place With No Name. I like that Place song. With No Name.
Do you know where your children are? What song was that?
I don't remember that song.
There's some good ones at Michael
Slave
Jackson.
To the Rhythm.
Slave to the Rhythm.
Then there's the Escape song itself. It's not it.
Number four, I got Rest in Peace to the Guy, man, Jay Dilla, The Shining. That Shining came out, and that was him. If you know Jay Dilla, he's a producer. So that was him. An amazing album. Rest in peace to the guy. Number three. This guy, you want to talk about posthumous albums, Tupac.
Oh, boy.
He's the reason why when you're a kid, you're like, damn, Tupac still alive?
I don't know how many albums that dude got after he passed away.
But the Don Culluminati, The 7-Day Theory, that one's number three. That's number three on my list. Very great. Number two, we mentioned it earlier, Life After Death, Biggie. Hits on hits on hits on hits. That album will live on forever. Your kids will listen to that. And number one, this is going to be a shock to a lot of people, but my Mac Miller's Circles is my number one posthumous album. If you know about Mac Miller, his growth and his transition to music has been wild. Like, he was just a pop rap kid in like 2011. Transition to really strong rap artist, and then started to transition into this jazzy, melodic rapper. And his last album, Swimmings, before he passed, was transitioning into that. And then we found out with Circles, he was working with this guitarist. I'm forgetting his name right now, and John Mayer. And Circles came out, and it's so beautiful, so thought out. It was a great way to wrap things up. And that's probably one of my favorite albums ever. So shout out to, rest in peace to Mac Miller. But those are my top five posthumous albums. I hope we're saying that word correctly.
If you hear in the chat and you could think of any posthumous albums, you know, that really stand out to you from some of your favorite artists?
Oh, I forgot Jimi Hendrix too. Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah, there's a lot out there. So yeah, if you're in there right now, please drop them in the chat. Some that we may be missing that we're not thinking of. Drop them in the chat for sure. I see this comment from Sam, which makes sense. He says, I think it depends on who produces the album. Like when it's someone who really knows the artist and has worked with them, a lot, it makes a huge difference. Which, yeah, I get. Like, there's some artists who consistently work with a producer a lot.
You still don't know.
You'll never know.
Yeah, you'll never know.
Even that producer that may work with them a lot, like, they could say, all they can say in the studio, I think they would like it. Right. I think they'd like this beat. I think they'd like this. But you'll never really fully get that stamp of, like, the artist saying, yeah, that's the one right there. That's it.
Like, how many stories do we hear about artists saying, oh, yeah, I have a lot of songs in the bone that really, because they were good or I didn't like that and stuff. So now you're using verses and songs.
I feel like I'm thinking, yeah, Aaliyah definitely popped up in my head, Sam. I feel like there might be an artist or two who never had posthumous albums dropped because their family is like, yo, we're not releasing anything. Is Aaliyah the person I'm thinking of?
Did Aaliyah have a posthumous album?
I don't think she did.
No.
And she might not be the only artist out there.
I think Aaliyah passed right after her album dropped.
And then nothing came out.
There was no posthumous album.
I don't know if it's Aaliyah or it could be Aaliyah, but I feel like there's an artist that's like, there's music from them that's unreleased, but the family or whoever's saying, nah, it's not happening. I don't know if it's Aaliyah or I'm drawing a blank on who else it could be, but there's someone that's like, nah, which is crazy because it's sad to say, but a posthumous album is going to make mad money. If the artist is big enough, is Big Pun, are you saying Big Pun has music that hasn't been released? Is that what you're saying, that Big Pun? But yeah, this posthumous albums are going to make money regardless. And if you have a family or whatever saying, look, we're not releasing.
Sam's saying it doesn't live.
Okay. See, I knew I was thinking of something. Family's doing it. Because, I would like artists make music. Does every song make the cut to a 12-song album? No.
I think I could be wrong. Now that we're talking about Aaliyah, I think Missy had once had like an unreleased Aaliyah verse. I could be making a blank. I definitely got to look back into it.
Whitney Houston Essential album.
Yeah, so that's another thing too. Like, it's not a posthumous album. But then they do like their
compilation of great songs,
greatest hits, and stuff. I don't
have a problem with those.
No. I think those come out. Those will always come.
And those are great. Yeah. If you could have a drop of a album just with an artist's greatest song, I don't see no problem. I think
that's
with that.
Like when I was a kid and I wanted to get to know an artist, like, okay, I really want to dive into Bob Marley. First thing I used to go to is the greatest hits.
Mm.
Or I wanted to learn more about Outkast. I go to Outkast greatest hits albums. Okay, now this album's from what? This song's from what album? Oh, okay, let me dive in. This song's from this? Okay, let me go dive in.
I gotta read up some more on that Aaliyah situation with her uncle. Because I'm saying, if Aaliyah released a posthumous album,
yes,
that's
Alexa Kay said it was Chris Brown, not Missy. Chris Brown did have a song with with an Aaliyah verse.
Yeah, on his that X album, what's it called? X something. I forgot what that album it is. How could they know?
Yes.
How could they know?
Yes.
Yeah, that song. But yeah, I would love to read up more on why Uncle refuses to release the music because, like I'm saying, mad money is a lot of money would come from that. A lot of money. And it's not all about the money. We know that. I don't know his reasons for not releasing the music. Maybe he just wants to be respectful of his niece that passed away. I don't know. But speaking in general, because how big Aaliyah was and still is now, that posthumous album is breaking records if it was to ever drop.
Another comment here. I like this question. What about remix albums when they take old verses and put them other artists? Like, for example, Biggie is the first one that comes to mind. That's when you had Nasty Girl. You know, you're taking a verse from Biggie and you're just making a whole different type of song with it. I don't want to call it a posthumous album, but for my generation, I think it definitely helped get to understand Biggie more. I still have that album in my library, and it definitely like, oh, what verse was this from? Once again, maybe just me being a nerd, but just wanting to go back and hear what the original was and just introducing a new generation, because that came out, I believe, in like 2006. That's you're giving a whole new generation of Biggie's music.
Yeah, that's an interesting
Biggie duets. Yeah, that's the album that comes to mind. That's a great album. This is one with Bob Marley and Biggie. Woo! That's a force.
I'm happy you brought this topic up because it really brings up an interesting conversation. Like I said, after the show, I'm definitely going to read into more about that Aaliyah situation because I'm very curious as to why unreleased music from her isn't getting dropped. I want to learn more about it. But yeah.
Well, everybody, welcome back, man. Welcome back to Double M. We took our mental health break. Hope you guys are taking care of your body, taking care of your mental, taking care of everything that you need to take care of. Gear up. Season 3 is still on, still strong. We got a lot of things coming up. Even next week, you might even see a couple new additions to the show. Who knows? Who knows? But stay tuned. We appreciate everyone for tuning in into the comments.
Couple shout outs.
Give them out, man. Give them out.
Shout out to our executive producer, El Cutie with a Gap.
Yes, sir.
You know,
what a weekend.
What a weekend. This past Friday, our executive producer tied the knot. He's now a married man. So shout out to our guy, Sam. Big things, man. Beautiful wedding. We gotta
get Sam on the show and talk wedding things.
We gonna get Sam
talk in. Talk marriage things with him. Yeah, big men talk.
Sam, we gotta get you on the show and just talk about what it means to be, you know, a married man. What goes into it? Your thoughts and feelings, you know. We got to hear from you, Sam. So be ready for that coming up real soon, real soon, real soon.
I like that. I like that.
Shout out to the rest of the Double M team. Sai, Kiki, Real Snipe, Matic, Josh. You know, foot still on the gas pedal. Double M still to the moon. And we still rocking. Shout out to Massive Media as well, holding us down. And shout out again to everybody tuned in. It's been Double M.
It's a good show.
Like, subscribe, share. That's what we do, Marv.
It's a good show. I don't know. I felt like when I started off, it took me a minute. It took me a minute to get the dust off.
Yeah,
you know, knock it off for real quick. And then once we got going, man, we was like Usain Bolt. You couldn't catch us.
Once you get back into the groove, it don't take much, man. Don't take much. This is what we do. It's Double M for you.
To the moon.